Welcome back to a special Labor Day edition of Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We're spending this hour opening a time capsule, bringing you conversations we recorded for our show but were never able to air once our pandemic coverage started. Before the break, we sampled Irish cooking with ingredients from hundreds and sometimes thousands of years ago. Next, we want to hear a story about relearning your childhood. Mimi Bull is a great-grandmother in her 80s, living in Peterborough, New Hampshire, and she lived most of her life in the dark about an uncomfortable truth. Her adoptive mother was actually her birth grandmother. Her adoptive sister, Florence, was actually her birth mother, and the Catholic priest in their Norwood parish, Father Hip, was her father.
Until my 81st year, I had never spoken with another priest's child.
This is Bull reading from a letter she sent in 2017 to Pope Francis.
I had tried to find others, like an orphan looking for one's lost tribe. Just as the secrecy deprived me of feeling part of either my mother or father's family, so the secrecy and shame has kept priests' children from the comfort and support of knowing one another. The Church, always cowardly in the face of scandal, hid and swept us all under the rug to save its reputation. It never failed to consider human fallout from its failure to acknowledge us, the blameless children, much less offer compassion for our plight. Not only did it render us invisible, but made it impossible for us to have the recognition we so needed from our fathers. I was strong enough and grounded in loving parents to fight my way to serenity and mental stability. Many others are not as fortunate.
Bull's letter got no response. Eventually, she turned her attention to telling her life story in a memoir, Celibacy, a Love Story. It's a story of great pain, secrecy, and shame, and a story of resilience and triumph. We spoke with Mimi Bull at the beginning of March, and we began with how she felt after she sent that letter to Pope Francis.
Well, it was the first time that I had knowingly talked back to this institution that had completely governed my life until I got free.
Did Pope Francis ever respond to your letter?
Certainly not. I never expected it.
Are you mad about that?
No, I never expected it any more than when I called the chancery to ask them if they had a support system for children of priests. They absolutely shut me out. I don't expect anything, any kind of acceptance or recognition of any sort.
Were you adopted through Catholic Charities?
No.
Do you know who...
I know nothing about that period of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was born in Philadelphia. I didn't get a legal birth certificate until I was in my 50s. I got my Social Security card and my passport on the basis of my baptismal certificate signed by my father.
I'm sorry.
Now that's...
Who is this book for, Mimi?
Well, the book's evolved... Because the story is so complicated in the timing and what was happening when and what did I know. And because our life was all over the world at that point, I wanted it clear for my grandchildren and now my great-granddaughter. And even my children sometimes ask me, did this happen? But then as time went on and the book was coming along and it felt important to tell this story, particularly for someone who had run the whole gamut from the intense secrecy of childhood and the very different feeling and then the intense depression and suicidality, its impact on my family, on my children, the ripples even to my grandchildren. And I just felt it was an important story to get out there as... all the issues that are opening up at other aspects of the church.
There are several places in the book where there are actual illustrations of art therapy.
Yes.
That you did in your 50s.
Yes.
After you found out more about your story and started to come to
grips. Yes, I had all the details by then.
I found myself thinking in reading the book, was this book a piece of the therapy or recovery or healing for you?
Yes, of course.
When you were done writing it, did you feel different in some way?
Oh, yes. If you've grown up with the intense secrecy and the impact of the secrecy in all directions, you don't have access to half of your family. My maternal family, I was still off. I was still Florence's adopted daughter. So I had no, it wasn't until I began going home with my college roommates to begin to see what normal households were like with multiple siblings and, you know, a father and a mother who loved each other. I didn't know that. My father and mother loved each other, but I had no way. I never thought of them as my parents. And so.
You didn't know they were your parents.
I didn't. And so it was at that stage when I could finally embrace them as my parents and hope that I had fulfilled their dreams for me, because they both sacrificed everything that I would flourish. And I did.
For someone who has not had the experience of being an adopted child, can you explain why knowing Florence was your mother gave you a connection to her, that knowing she was a woman who wanted you as her child and wanted to raise you as her child when she adopted you,
yes,
wasn't enough?
Well, I'd had three. I had a foster mother for a year, and then I was adopted by my grandmother, and she was my mummy until I was six. And then my sister, Florence, became my mummy, my adopted mummy. And that had to be because she was unmarried. We were in a small town. And so that finally to offload all of the secrecy in all directions was to be whole. I'd never been able to say I love you, because making that kind of commitment might be taken away from me. And suddenly to fantasize, as I do at the end of the book, standing with them and embracing them and saying, I hope that I have fulfilled your deepest dreams for me, is liberating.
Father Hipp, also your father.
Yes.
Died fairly young at 47.
Yes.
You didn't find out he was your father till much 30 later.
30 years later.
That is a lot later.
Yeah.
If you had found out while he was still alive, what would you have wanted to say to him, and what would you have wanted him to say to you?
I wanted him to say what my stepfather finally said to me. Daughter, I just needed that. And I would thank them for the enormously interesting childhood they gave me.
I'm just going to ask this question.
Yeah.
We're in Boston. If Cardinal O'Malley hears this interview, what would you want him to know?
I'd like him to step out of the traditional conservative role on celibacy and begin to look at the lifelong impact of not only abuse of children, but of children of priests and their parents. It's deeply important. And I would like him also to advocate for women at higher levels.
Is there a way back to the institutional church for you? And if there is, would you want that?
Not as it's configured right now. Maybe in a monastery there would be an extraordinary teacher. I wouldn't be averse to that. But as for, you know, there's a little Catholic church in Peterborough, but I don't know that I wanted to do it that way. I continue to read about the life of the soul, and I live my life as I have a mantra, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. And that's what I live by.
Mimi Bull. She's the author of Celibacy, a Love Story, Memoir of a Catholic Priest's Daughter, speaking with us in March.